In 1920, Germany was a harsh place coming out of World War I with little or no food. Evil stalked the streets. Today, we talk about Karl Gruberman, the Butcher of Berlin.
Ladies and gentlemen of all ages, boys and girls, thank you for tuning in to yet another episode of Angry Meat Production. We appreciate you coming in and letting us be a part of your lives, week in and week out. We hope to do our best to present you with something that your eardrums delight in. Whether you're looking at us on YouTube or Rumble, or listening to us on Spotify, Google, or Anchor, or any of the other podcast services that we are currently on or trying to get on, we thank you. And if you don't mind, at the end of every episode, stop by, leave us a comment, leave us a like. If it asks for 5 stars, we'll take 5 stars, even if you don't like us. 5 stars are what it's all about. With that being said, we hope you enjoy our attempt to make our advocation, our vocation. Ladies and gentlemen, let the games begin.
Welcome, Angry Faithful. We're here again. Another Psychos and Sociopaths. Now, today we're going to go over, like I said, Karl Gruberman. Gruberman. There's a B. It's German. Also known as the Butcher of Berlin. Now, there's a lot during this time frame in the 1920s to 30s and so forth in Germany, because Germany at this time was basically a shitstorm. Just going to say it, put it out there. It was a shitstorm after World War One. The German dollar, Deutschmark, I think it's Deutschmark. Hold on. Let's verify this. Money in 1920. It's still saying euro. It was a Deutschmark. I'm pretty sure it was Deutschmark. Yeah, Deutschmark. Okay. Now, at this time, Just to take a reference of how much one Deutschmark in this time frame, one Deutschmark was equal $2,061.67 of the U.S. Deutschmarks. That's how much that's how much you would have to match a U.S. dollar was 2,061,000. Deutschmark, just equal $1 at the time. This is 1920s where dollar was big. But yeah, there was times that there was a story where they had to bring in a wheelbarrow full of cash, Deutschmarks, at the time, just to buy a piece of bread, small bread. That's how bad the economy in Germany at this time after World War One was. It was horrific. And during that time frame, it was famine. Crime ran rampant. Big time. It was horrible times for the German community at that time. Even after World War II, it was the same way, more or less. Now, saying that, they had acts of cannibalism a lot. This is one of them. Well, I'm actually curious. I'll probably end up going in the next couple of weeks over a lot of German killers because there was a lot, and not a lot of people's actually gone through them. So let's begin. Carl Fischer Wilhelm Grossman. I see it's Grossman. Was born December 13th, 1963 in Neuppelin, Germany. Let me just make sure I got that right. Neuppelin.
Neuruppin.
Neuruppin. Germany. As though not much is known about his childhood, his early criminal activities is mostly well recorded. By the age of 20, he was served a three-day sentence for begging in 1983. More criminal convictions followed when he was arrested for committing an unnatural act on a sheep in Mannheim, 1996. So he's a sheep fucker. More criminal convictions. God, I just... Sorry. Sometimes when I read these things... getting the information and everything, I look at stuff that's just, I end up reading stuff that's really weird, like he was a sheep fucker. So just to go, he was messed up in the head. More criminal convictions followed when he was arrested for committing an unnatural sex. Okay, we already got that. Once the following year, he was convicted for sexual assault on a 12-year-old girl from Nuremberg in what would be his 25th conviction. Grossman was sentenced in 1899 to 15 years penitential servitude for sexual assault of two girls in Bayreuth. Is that Bayreuth? Hold on, people. I try to do the speak and spell beforehand, but I want to get
Bayreuth.
Oh, Bayreuth. And the act was against a 10-year-old and a 4.5-year-old who was badly injured during the attack. Although he was once employed as a butcher, Grossman preferred to earn his living begging on the streets and use some of his income on prostitutes who shared his bed most nights. By the early 1900s, he began renting a squatted top floor of apartment at 88 and 89th. Langstrandies? Speak and spell, see me.
Langstrandies.
Located in the slums of the capital. That was a... situated near the last stop of Salinese. Sorry, my German is not up there.
Scheislin
Railway. He was considered bitter and secretive by his neighbors, but was given his privacy by his landlord because he always paid his rent on time. Though his begging, he was earning enough money to pay for a regular housekeeper for his Berlin apartment. However, those housekeepers inevitably did not last long, and soon another applicant was sought to replace the previous young woman. It is unknown when he began to murder women, but during World War I, Grossman sold meat on the black market and later owned a hot dog stand at a train station near his home. It was strongly believed that he used his fresh victims as a meat substitute, which he sold to a unsuspecting public and threw the bones and other inedible parts into the river. He would often invite prostitutes to his apartments for sex, whence homeless women were offered food for the same arrangement, as well as advertising for single women to work for him, who were all butchered before he disposed of the remains. This led to a separate of spate. Anyway, spate of missing person cases beginning in May 1918, when several bodies began showing up in the another German word.
Lucenstade.
A Lucenstade canal. Engelbrecken reservoir in various stages of decomposing. In October 1920, 33-year-old Freya Sherbert went missing. She was traveling from Berlin to Dresden, and on the day of her disappearance, she has been propositioned by many men. When one eventually accepted her services, between October 7th to 9th, 1920, the remains of a young woman was found in
Lucenstade
canal, which was later identified as a Freda Schubert. Is it Schubert?
Schubert.
Yeah, Schubert. On 16th of October, the Berlin Madras Morgan's Post reported that the killer had saw through her bone, and with such brutality that he had been pulled from the socket from the shoulder, and her heart had been pulled from the rib cage. Okay, police believed that it was the work of a sadist and began to question any potential witnesses. One of whom said they saw the young woman in the company of Carl Grossman. Police then made a search of his apartment, and on October 21st, and found the missing woman missing woman's handbag. However, Grossman was able to offer an innocent and plausible explanation, and the matter was pursued no further. In December 1920, a young woman known as Melanie Summer. It was the O that messed it. It's Sommer. That's what messed me up. Summer vanished, and the rush of unexplained disappearances and bodies discovered by the police continued throughout 1921, right up to the early August, when Elizabeth Brothel disappeared, which saw the number of cases of the missing woman reported in the Berlin Police Department raised up to 23. On the 13th of August, saw another young woman disappeared when 24-year-old Jonah Shenshank. These last names, they got pretty easy names for the first part, but the last one's gets me.
Sosnowski.
Fell victim to the Berlin butcher. She worked as a maid and was mother of a young child. 55-year-old Grossman at the time would regularly report these women to the police as missing and claim they had robbed him before fleeing. However, they would actually fall victim to his satanic sexual urges, and after entering his apartment were murdered and dismembered. My thing is on this, because I was looking at another report on this, is the people in the apartment heard the screams, heard the arguments and everything. Well, arguments, maybe more or less a woman screaming at the top of her lungs, please help me, blah, blah, blah. And no one did anything. So that's another thing that really caught my eye when doing this case. His last murder involved a 35-year-old cook, Maria Teresa. See, even the middle name, Teresa. I can get that. Marie Teresa
Nice.
Who had been recently on the streets and joined him for drinks in several local pubs. When they returned to his apartment, he offered her coffee laced with cyanide and then bound her hands and feet before beating her across the head until she was dead. Raul Grossman viciously beat Maria to death. Her screams were heard by the by his landlord, 66-year-old Gertrude Grabowski. Yeah, Gertrude Grabowski, who lived on the second floor. She alerted police, and the sound of violent struggling emitted from his apartment, and 41-year-old criminal commissioner Ernest Jeanette arrived with other officers from the criminal police, who proceeded to gain entrance to Grimson's room. When they entered, they discovered him in the process of dissecting the body of a young woman who had laying trusted onto his bed. Grossman was placed under arrest and took to custody and charged with first-degree murder. Investigators who searched his apartment concluded that several other people had been murdered there, which they surmised from bloodstains evidence, which indicated at least three other victims. Under questioning, Grossman would eventually admit the murders of four women who had were brutally killed inside his room at 88 to 89 Lentstreets. However, police who recovered his diary from his apartment, which detailed other women he had raped and murdered. A report from 1921 stated Grossman had confessed to the murders of 20 women over a 20-year period. It was believed some of these women were the unidentified women who dismembered remains have been found in the canal near Oster Square and off the Indian Blackin Reservoir. But police had little evidence to connect Grossman of these crimes. His neighbors were also questioned by the police and revealed Grossman had often found in the company of female companions who were mostly young women and desolate. It was discovered that Grossman had constructed a separate entrance to his apartment, which he would use during the early morning hours when he would arrive home in a drunken stumper from all-night drinking sessions, accomplished by a prostitute. It was during these investigations of Grossman's crimes that the investigators became aware of his wartime activities as a butcher. His source of income during the war was allegedly to have been from his black market activities and peddling fresh meat to female famine-hungry Berlin residents. It was the source of the black market meat, which police had now suspected. Now suspected may have come from his victims and stolen unexpected customers hit by the meat shortage and rationing. He would also be questioned by his neighbors about the smell which emanated from his Berlin apartment. Grossman would explain to them it was merely chicken which had become rotten in his summer heat. His neighbors Menahem and Helena Itzig became suspicious of his activities and bore a hole in his door so they could bear observation him inside of his apartment. They never saw Grossman's murder in any of his victims, but they did observe him how roughly he treated the female companions. Grossman's trial began on the 2nd July 1922, and the prosecution had arraigned 17 witnesses to appear and testify against the defendant. Among these were women. Women was prostitute Erica, who went to Grossman's apartment, but found it too squealy and considered Grossman himself to be too creepy and refused to complete the agreement sexual transaction. Some of these women had survived his sexual abuse and escaped with their lives, such as an unemployed industrial worker who accepted his offer to work as a housekeeper in August 1921. She began work immediately, but was drugged and raped soon after. Despite considered reports by numerous women, Grossman's defense counsel attacked the veracity of their claims and presented their stories as implausible. God, Lord. If it wasn't for the fact that they found him, like, ripping apart a fucking body when the cops caught him, I think that's the only reason why he was, like, arrested. Another witness known as Helena was accused by Grossman himself of having known about the murders and attempted to blackmail him. The prosecution presented to the court a long list of 23 women who had been disappearing. Among the names of the missing women who were suspected of having fallen victim to Grossman's sexual depravity included Marie Feld, Louis Wiener. Is that how you? I'm not being facetious.
Warner.
Sometimes I'm stupid. Liz Polkson, Frida Thompson, and Emma Berkowitz, and 19-year-old Emma Berman from Mecklenburg. And a woman known only as Martha from Poland. Although Grossman is not accused of direct complicated the disappearance of these women, it was considered very likely that he was responsible. After 3 days of testimony from numerous witnesses, Carl Grossman was found guilty of murder and sentenced to death. Contrary to reports indicated, Grossman laughed at when the sentence was to be executed. Grossman's motivation for why he lured women to his apartment to murder them and butcher the corpses was never accredited by the authorities, and the family of the victims never got the answer to their question about the missing loved ones, because on July 5th, 1922, Grossman committed suicide by hanging himself in his jail cell once waiting for execution. Carl Grossman is often associated with other German killers of the Wilmer period, such as, we'll get into these later, Peter Kurtznitz, Fritz Hertzmann, and Carl Drink. So, yeah, that was, like I said, I'm going to start doing a lot of Germans. And the whole reason why I'm going to do a couple of German stuff is we actually have an audience in Germany. It surprised me. So all you people in Germany, I'm not going to speak German. I'm not gonna learn German for this, but I did find out that I have a somewhat decent audience in Germany. So what I am going to do is I'm going to do a couple of episodes on Germany. I mean, we don't have that many compared to the United States, but we're getting up there, and there's a lot of the German serial killers that not a lot of people's heard about, because during that time frame, they didn't keep that well records. And so we are going in, and this is going to be the first episode for the next couple of weeks for the German stuff. So I'm going to do probably about three more of the German ones, and I'm going to go back to either American or some other worldly ones. I think I might go a couple of United Kingdom ones. But thank you all for listening. Thank you all for watching. And stay tuned for our other episodes. What the hell will only be, like I said, bi-weekly. Nerd Sports is every week. You can hear Johnny and Chris verbally beat the shit out of me each week. That's what happens. This is the only show that I get that we try to, we don't do that much comedy or fun stuff on these at times. Every once in a while I'll get somebody on here that'll talk with me and conversate. And the, I guess it'd be curiosity of the criminal element, since I'm not a criminal, I'll never be a criminal, hopefully. You know. But everybody, thank you all for watching, listening, and good. Until next time.